Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. Please be seated. This is a short yet piercing passage from the Gospel of John. And I imagine that question that Jesus asked is like a haiku in a sense. You have something set out before us that's opening and interesting, and then the cutting edge, the cutting word, the cutting line. Do you want to be made well? If you were here last week, you heard an outstanding sermon. Don't know if that'll happen today, but last week you did, by one of our seniors graduating from high school. And afterwards, I offered on behalf of this congregation a blessing for all of the graduating seniors gathered. And in that blessing, there were these lines: may you know the wisdom of deep listening, the healing of wholesome words, the encouragement of the appreciative gaze, the decorum of held dignity. And then there was this: the springtime edge of the bleak question. Springtime edge of a bleak question. I cannot imagine being ill as this man was for nearly four decades, and lying there outside of the temple in the portico by this pool. The legend, the story, the hope for those people gathered there was that an angel of the Lord might occasionally stir the water, and if you saw the waters stirred and you were the first one to touch it, then you might be made well. You might. And that was the system. So when Jesus sees this man, he sees him, first of all. I mean, how many people do you think passed by this fellow over 40 years? And no one offered to help? Maybe they did, but he was still there. He clearly had been cut off from his community, his family. He had no friends, no one to help him. Yet Jesus didn't walk past. He saw him, and he knew something of his suffering. He knew more about that man's suffering than we have in the story. That's what I gather from it. Because he asked that bleak, pointed, cutting question: do you want to be made well? The man didn't answer, of course. He avoided answering. He responded with a complaint and an explanation for his condition and his circumstance, why he hadn't yet been made well. And this is the question that we must ask ourselves. Do we really want to be made well? The other way of phrasing that is for Jesus to ask you and me, what is the deepest desire of your heart? Sometimes we become attached, deeply attached, to the identity that we already have. Many years ago, there was a time when I was seeing a therapist and was experiencing some depression in my life. And when that therapist first suggested the idea of taking some kind of medicine, that might be helpful, can you believe the thing that I thought and the thing that I said? It It's unbelievable to me now, but I said something like, who will I be without my melancholy? Who will I be? I don't even know how to be apart from that. I've been that way for so long, I don't know how to be other than that. She may as well have been asking me, do you want to be made well? And I had every excuse in the book because I was afraid of what was on the other side of wellness, of wholeness. I'm not saying I chose to be sick or that anyone else does or that this man in the gospel did. But if you think this gospel story is about a miraculous healing of the body, then I invite you to go many layers deeper than that. The unwellness of our world is a reflection of the inner unwellness of us. And the Lord of life is asking us, do you want to be made well? And we're making up every excuse in the book to explain why things are the way they are, why they will be the way they have been, and why I can't do anything about it. Because my identity is wrapped up in the way things are. The Anglican theologian Alan Jones, in a beautiful book called Exploring Spiritual Direction, wrote a few brief lines that I've never forgotten 25 years ago. I don't have them written here, it's just going to paraphrase. But it's something to the effect of, what is it in you that needs to be burned up? What is it within you that needs to be laid on the altar of God's burning love and burned up, consumed, and transformed completely? The hymn we just sang, if I can find it, the dove, the spirit, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. In the gospel, when Jesus sees this man, one of the root words for, let's see, paralytic, has to do with being dried up. The man's spirit was completely dried up. His hope vanished, and all he had was his story. But Jesus invited him into something larger. Jesus knew it was the Sabbath. He could have waited a few hours until sundown, but he went ahead and he healed this man. The man who didn't answer his question, who didn't ask to be healed, he just did it. And the man stood up and he put his mat, but really it's sort of a little box that keeps you off the ground, and he put it on his back and he's walking home to be rejoined to whatever, wherever he was going. Where on earth did he go? But on the way, some Pharisees saw him and they said, why are you carrying a burden on the Sabbath? That is not the way things are done. And he said, well, this man told me to. Well, who was the man? What was his name? The beggar didn't even bother to learn the name of the man who had healed him. But in the next passage, he does meet Jesus again. And he tells him his name, and the man turns around and tells the Pharisees, because he's afraid of the system. The system that has watched him lay beside the temple, beside the pool of healing, Bethesda, the house of healing, the temple that watched him lay there and didn't lay a finger or a hand to help him. The system did that. But Jesus invites us to ask that question. Do I want to be healed? Does our church Does our city, do we want to be healed? Does our nation, do our nations of the world want to be healed? Are we willing to let go of whatever that identity is that defines who we are because that's how it's always been? Or are we willing to accept something that Jesus and God offers us to make us new, different, something we don't even imagine we can be? Those might sound like strange, grandiose words, but all they are is hope. And the difference lies within us. The Lord of life, Jesus Christ, what we know about God through Jesus is that His hope and His desire for us is that we will walk, that we will move, that we will be changed, that we will allow something new to happen and give up something old. Take that question home with you. Take it to the beach. Take it to the lake. Take it into your prayers. Take it to your dinner table with your family. And ask, do we want to be healed? Because if the answer is yes, then you're going to have to do something. Something new.